Sometimes you just got to begin to chase a dream that is bigger than you. Sometimes when it seems like you're so far behind, you'll never catch up. You got to get up on your feet. You can't wait on other people to be what you've been called to be.
Hello and welcome to the Ugly Daughter podcast. This is Julia Legend. My special guest today is an inspiring man, and I'm very grateful to have him on my show. His name is Lavi Jackson. He was once an addict and a homeless person. He sold newspaper on the streets for a living. His life changed for better when a Tony Robbins peer group called North Dallas Fire Walkers stepped in and helped him turn his life around. Hello, Lavi. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome. Lavi, I watched the video about your chance encounter with the North Dallas Fire Walkers, and I was moved to tears. You are living proof that life is full of miracles and possibilities. So are you still living on the street at the moment, or do you have a place of your own, Lavi?
Well, currently, I don't have a place of my own. However, a member of the North Dallas Firewalkers, Dr. Brandon Breck, has been putting me up in motel rooms. We are currently looking for me an apartment.
Okay, that's wonderful. So, you don't mind, can you share with our listeners a little bit about your past, your struggles, and also how did you end up on the street?
Sure. I wound up on the street by making a lot of poor decisions. I suffered for 30 years from alcoholism and addiction to crack cocaine.
Wow.
The problem was that I didn't love me. However, not only do I love me today, I know God loves me and my family loves me. Currently, I have about 9.5 months clean and sober. On July 23rd, I'll have 10 months. And it's been great. It's been great. Now, I wind up... Tony Robbins had a conference, the Unleash the Power Within. They were here in Dallas for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Well, I figured, you know, because I sell these newsletters called Street Zine. And what Street Zine is, Street Zine is a self-help newsletter for people living in poverty or homeless like myself. We as vendors, we buy them from the Stew Pot, that's the agency that sponsors us, and we ask for donations.
Yeah.
And we get to keep the proceeds for us to stand on our own 2 feet and support ourselves. So I was up at the convention center where the conference was Thursday and Friday trying to sell my papers, but I was doing it during the daytime. And on those two particular days, with the heat indexes, was 105 outside. So it was awfully hot. So I figured Saturday morning, I try to get there early and sell my papers. Well, I went up by the convention center and I'm trying to sell my papers. I wasn't having any positive luck. I wasn't having any luck. So I went down to the corner where people were just now getting I went about a couple hundred yards away from the convention center, you know, as people were approaching and trying to catch them then. This one guy, he came across the street and I spoke to him. Good morning, sir. And he spoke back. However, before I could say anything else, he kind of threw his hand up and he kept walking. So I turned around to speak to the next person. Good morning, sir. And that person didn't speak at all. The person that kept walking the first time though had stopped and turned around. And when I turned around, he was looking at me and he says, come here. He tells me, he says, I don't care what you're doing. And he says, I don't know what you're doing and I don't care. All I want you to do is make a promise to me that you'll pay it forward. And he gives me $2 and I tell him, I say, sir, I'm grateful for your contribution and your donation. However, can I explain to you exactly what I'm doing? So I explained to him what Street Zine is. And it was at that point, he tells me, he says, I apologize. He says, I'm from New York and there I'm an advocate for the homeless. And the last thing I want to do is be disrespectful to you.
Yeah.
So he asked me, can I take your picture? And I say, well, can I pray for you? He says, sure. And while I'm praying, he's taking a video. I pray for him and he walk on. I stay where I was about another 5 minutes with no luck. So I go back up by the convention center. It's early in the morning because I'm trying to beat the heat. So I know it's going to be another hot one. So I go back up by the convention center. And as I approach this one lady, she sees me and she saw me there earlier and she said, hey, come here, what you got? And so I explained to her about Street Zine She buys a newsletter. And then I see Julie. Julie was a member of the crew whom I had met on that Friday.
Yeah.
And so Julie says, come here. And she says, have a seat. And while I'm sitting down, she's texting on her phone. She says, I'm working on something. I'll hold on just a second. And so the lady that had just bought the newsletter for me, she comes back out and she had went inside and bought two of Tony Robbins' books for me. And she said, here, I want you to have these. And she gives them to me. And she goes back off and back to the convention center. And so Julie says, hey, listen, I have to go inside and see somebody. You're not leaving, are you? I said, no, I'm not going nowhere. I'm going to sit here and try to sell my papers. And so she says, well, promise me. She said, I'll be right back. I said, I promise you, I'm coming right. She said, okay, please don't leave. And she leaves and she goes inside. Well, now, what I now know is she's going to see a guy named Roger. However, when she gets to Roger is looking at the video of me praying for this guy. And she tells him that's him. And so they come outside to introduce me to Roger. And so Roger's, and I'm sitting down, Roger says, stand up. He said, come on, let's go inside. I'm thinking he's talking about, let's go inside to get out the heat. Little did I know, we walk over to registration, and I'm registered in VIP section for the last 2 days to attend a conference. And I was like, oh, my God. And so I get in, and I sit down in my seat. I'm sitting in VIP. I'm sitting right in the middle of the row. And the moment I get in there and I sit down, people start coming up to me. One person come up to me and say, hey, you're going to need this. He gives me some food. Another person say, hey, you're going to need this. They give me some water. I mean, one by one, as people are coming to me. Well, I'm, oh, my God. I get so wrapped up and caught up into the conference, I forget about, staying in the shelter. And here it is about 10-something at night, and I'm speaking with another attendee, and he asked me, he said, so where are you staying? I said, in the shelter. He said, well, where are you going to sleep tonight? They're closed. And I said, you know what? I forgot about that. And I said, hold on just a second. I'll be right back. He said, where are you going? I said, I'm going outside. He said, what you going outside for? I said, so I can sell some papers to, so I can sell some papers to try and, give me a room for the night. He said, well, how much does it cost? I said, $55. He said, well, how much you need? I said, I don't know. Let me see what I got. I had $7 in my pocket. He said, don't worry about it. He said, don't go outside, stay inside. I'll take care of it tonight. So he bought me a room for that night. Now, Sunday morning, I volunteer at this church called Soul Church. They have service outside in this parking lot. It's right across the street from the shelter. And I volunteer to help set up the chair and set up tents and tables. And so I'm there every morning at 5:30, every Sunday morning. The conference was over. I didn't get back to the rooms about, get to a room in a bed about 2 something. And I'm back up at 5:30. I'm at the church, help volunteering, help set up. But when I get to the convention center, for the conference that Sunday morning, it was almost like a video say rock star. People were coming up to me because what I didn't know was, Paul, the guy that I prayed for, had put the video on Facebook, and so many people were coming up to me and they were telling me, hey, I saw your story. You inspired me. Can I take a picture with you? And so they kept pulling me in and out of my chair, in and out. And I'm sitting in the middle of the road. So it was kind of embarrassing to have to keep walking over people. So I just stayed out of my seat. But let me tell you, oh my God, I took so many pictures. I didn't know were coming up to me. I'm walking toward the food court and this one lady saying, oh, you don't need something to eat, huh? I'm like, yeah. She said, here. Use this. I'm thinking, I saw the $5, and I'm thinking it's a $5 bill. Turns out it was a $50 bill. I'm like, oh my God. And so as I'm standing there by the condiment section, Dr. Black walks up to me. He says, so where are you at around here? I'm thinking he's talking about my newsletters, you know, where I said my papers at. He was like, no, what shelter you stay in? I don't know why he's asking. So I'm like, I stay in the Austin Street shelter. He's like, well, where is that at? I'm like, if you're trying to walk, you ain't going to make it unless you're used to walking because it's not close here. I said, I can make it because I'm used to walking. I don't know about you. But I didn't know, you know. So then he says to me, well, what type of work you do? I said, primarily customer service. And he looks off and looks down. And he said, you do anything else? I said, man, I would push a broom. You got some? You know somebody that got some? And he hands me his card. And he says, look, I'll be out of the office till Wednesday. He's already wrote his cell phone number on the man. He said, here's my number. give me a call. And I come there and I'm going to pick you up Wednesday. I say, okay, great. And so now little did I know though, I called him and when he come and he picks me up, he wind up coming to give me my lunchtime because he was already at the office. I said, okay. When I get in the car, he tells me, he said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to put you in a hotel room until, we find you an apartment, not going back to the shelf.
Yeah.
I'm like, huh? I'm not understanding where, you know, I'm like, wow. We have lunch. We go to the office. We leave the office and we go to a room and he puts me, oh my God. And it's been a God can everything. Oh my God. Ever since, I've been standing in a room off the street, still trying to sell my newsletters. last Saturday, I actually had the opportunity to watch, Tony Robbins' Date with Destiny that premiered on Netflix. I rode down to Austin with, Andrew, somebody else that I didn't know until the Friday afternoon when he picked me up and we ride down. I had never saw him. I talked to him on the phone before and he picked me up. I get in the car and we go. But let me tell you, I had a blast. And then the guy that got me into the conference, Roger, he's from Austin. So Saturday morning, him, his son, and I went and had lunch on the lake. Man, oh, my God. It was, let me tell you, God has constantly been providing for me and doing for me. And I understand it's only because of his grace and his mercy that these things are happening to me.
Yeah.
That I can even sit here and know that I exist today is because of God's grace and mercy. And I will never, ever be able to repay him. I will never be able to tell enough people about him.
Yeah.
I love him. Yeah. I love him. I love him.
You definitely will repay him and you would fulfill the promise. I understand where you're coming from because I wasn't in your shoes, but I was suicidal when I attended Tony Robbins seminar. And yeah, ever since, you know, my life just totally changed. It's just, you know, changed for better. So I know exactly where you're coming from. So Luby, okay, just say this is a personal question, but because you're struggling with, you know, your addiction and drugs and alcohols and all that, don't you have any family members or friends that could lend you a helping hand?
I have a recovery coach, a mentor, and a sponsor. I have a network of people that are surrounded by me now that I know got my best interests at heart.
Yeah.
Sure, I got family that I have two family members who have overcome and are both now preachers. However, my brothers, my sister, and my mom, they've experienced, they went through my addiction with me, pretty much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've experienced so much.
Yeah.
This is not the first time I've had any clean time either. I've had clean time before. However, it was short term. It was short lived. So I'm sure at this point in the game, they want to see, the long term effect. They want to see the outcome of it. And I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right. You have, you know, great people surrounding you now. So I have no doubt that you will stay clean for a long, long time, maybe for the rest of your life. So I have no doubt.
For the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Thank you. Maybe it's a plan.
Yeah. So what was the hardest thing about being homeless, Lavi?
You know, let me tell you, no one in that is homeless grew up that way. We all adapted to that way of life. And when I first got to the shelter, I became like everyone else. I adapted to it, as I said. But I became comfortable, complacent, and I quit on life. And I was okay with just sitting there being taken care of.
Yeah.
Now, when I started doing street things, I realized now being homeless just means you don't have a permanent residence. It doesn't mean that life is over and that you quit on life. And so I understand now I still have responsibilities.
Yeah.
And, but first and foremost to myself, to stay sober. Secondly, I have responsibility to those around me, that are helping me, you know.
Yeah.
And to God, you know, because He one has allowed all of this to take place. And I understand that.
Yeah.
So you have to live and be a shining example for him.
Yes, ma'am.
So what were the dangers and challenges you had to face every day?
Well, staying in a shelter, you always have the element of not knowing where this next person's mind is mentally, you know. There's a lot of mental disease in shelters, we call it. A shelter is just providing shelter, but they're not providing that person with the, you might have a person that is on drugs and alcohol, and also has a mental disability. That's a deadly combination. That person can snap at any time and think you are the person that harmed them and want to do you harm. So, you always got that element of surprise there. And then you run the risk. Sometimes there have been nights where I've tried to get into the shelter, but, once they reach their capacity, if you don't get in, you don't get in.
Yeah.
So then you're on the street the whole night.
Yeah.
And that in itself is a scary thing, you know. You have to weigh the decision. Do I lay down here? Do I lay down there? Do I lay down at all? Do I just keep walking all night? And then you got to ask yourself where you're going to walk at if you do keep walking all night. I primarily chose the downtown area because it's more officers down there, more safety patrol down there.
Mm.
And those that would seek to do harm to another person.
Yeah.
It's not as prevalent downtown as it would be in other areas.
Yeah.
I'm so far just really sleeping outside. Never been my thing because I could never trust that. I know of a case where a guy was sleeping on the bus stop. I mean, just literally just sleep. And his head was back and a guy for no unknown reason just walk up to him and cut his throat. And so I couldn't, for that reason alone, I couldn't. Yeah, I couldn't see my side.
Yeah.
So I primarily walked a lot.
Wow.
At nighttime, yeah.
Ah, it's very tough living on the street. I mean, you're not even talking about the weather, the cold and the heat and, the rain and all that. What do you do during those wild weather days?
There's been times when I have got caught in the rain, and if you're wet, you're wet. And that has always been I've had times when I've got soaking wet all the way through the core to my bone. And unfortunately, I just have to walk in those clothes until they dry. But the problem is, I don't know if you ever experienced it, but if you ever have on some shoes and they get soaking wet and you walk in them and they dry, the smell is going to come. Well, you can have your feet in them, and they're going to smell through your shoes.
Yeah.
So, I've had that happen, more than one occasion where I had to try to figure out something with the shoes.
Yeah.
What
do you do when you get sick, Lavi? Obviously, living on the street itself is a challenge, but then you do fall sick because, you don't have enough food to eat and don't have a proper place to stay. Where do you go for help when you get sick?
No. No, let me tell you, the shelters, like the Bridge, that's the name of the shelter, they have, Parkland Hospital is on the inside of there. The Stew Pot, which is the agency where I pick up my paper, they got Parkland, they have medical there, the services are there, it's just about tapping into those services. A lot of people, like I say, on the street for whatever reason, don't even want to touch those services, they don't even want to try to receive service. They are okay and comfortable with just being in the state that they are.
Mm.
Well, now, but for God's grace, I never really have gotten sick while I was out there.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah, but for His grace, let me think. Have I ever? No, I haven't while I was out there. I haven't. Thank you, Jesus. I've never had to just go and just really, really require medical attention to work. Now, I've had this pain in my side, and I've been to four different hospitals, and nobody could tell me what the problem was. So I just equated it, and who was it? Peter was given a thorn in the side in the Bible. So I just thought God just gave me this pain in my side, and when nobody gonna be able to fix it but God. But for his grace, he introduced me to Dr. Mack, who's now in providing shelter. He just figured out what the pain is. So we gonna get that fixed. Thank you, God, you know. I've been dealing with this pain for a minute. I've been to 4 different hospitals and they've done ultrasounds, CAT scans, sonograms. Nobody could tell me what this pain is. Well, he told me right off the bat, he touched it and bam, so he just figured it out. And I'm like, wow. And that was just not telling them what it is. You know, I told them and they'd be like, well, I don't see nothing. I'm like, why can you not see anything? I'm sitting here in pain. But it is what it is.
Everything happens for a reason.
Right. So, everything happens for a reason.
That's right. So what is your biggest fear right now, Lovey?
My biggest fear right now, I guess it's really not a fear for me right now. My biggest fear, honestly, is letting God down.
Mm.
Because I made a promise that I will go where he wants me to go and I'll say what he wants me to say. And I got to fulfill that, you know?
Yeah.
I have to fulfill that.
Do you have a plan to fulfill his your promise?
Whatever he tells me to do anymore. I just, you know, I wake up every day with the thought. If I run across someone that needs prayer, I pray for them right then.
That's wonderful. So do you have plans for your future and say where would you like to be in 1 year or 2 years' time?
Okay, in 1 year, I would definitely like to be in my own place. And in 2 years, I got a year and a half to have my LCDC license, where I would be a licensed chemical dependency counselor. I'd be a drug counselor.
Yeah.
I figure who better to work with me than me.
Exactly.
So in 2 years, my goal would definitely be to be able to have that license.
Yeah.
And to be able to start just helping others in my shoes.
Sounds like a very good plan. So before we go, what do you want to say to the people that choose to turn a blind eye and refuse to help homeless people, Lavi? Because I know many people in my life, they don't want to help the homeless at all.
Okay, this is what I tell them. Whenever I see someone less fortunate than myself, what I'm always got to remind myself of is, only because of God's grace and his mercy, I too am not in that same situation.
Yeah.
So when I see someone less fortunate than myself, I say, but for his grace, there go I. And so they got to remember, it's only because of his grace and his mercy that they too are not in that same situation. And some of them may be a paycheck away or two paychecks, paychecks away from actually being in that situation. So don't look down on the person. And, okay, you may not want to help them. But always remember, it's only because of God's grace that you too are not in that same situation.
That's right.
Because you too can be.
Yeah. And anything could happen to life. You know, the possibility
right.
is endless.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So what advice do you have for our listeners today, Lavi?
This advice I can give to anybody.
Hmm.
Once you get your relationship with God right, everything else around you will work itself out.
Wonderful. Anything else you like to share with our listeners before we go?
No. I'm grateful to have had the opportunity to speak with you and to give my point of view and to add whatever corners that I could. But I'm just so happy. I'm just so happy right now. And
I'm happy for you too.
Thank you, man.
I just want to say thank you so much for your time. And it's really, really wonderful talking with you today. Take care of yourself and all the best to you and your future.
Thank you. Thank you very much. God bless.
Thank you, Lavi.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Uh-huh. That's all for today. Thank you for listening. I hope to see you all again next week. Bye for now.